Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Our next guest on Open House has applied his early life experiences of aid and development work in Africa to redesigning the way we reach out to those who need our help. This is Dr. Ernesto Ciroli sharing his experiences of teaching Zambians how to grow tomatoes.
And we were amazed that the local people in such fertile valley would not have any agriculture. But instead of asking them how come they were not growing anything, we simply said, thank God we're here. Just in the nick of time to save the Zambian people from starvation. And of course, everything in Africa grew beautifully, and we had these magnificent tomatoes. In Italy, a tomato will grow to this size, in Zambia, to this size. And we could not believe. And we were telling the Zambians, look how easy agriculture is. When the tomatoes were nice and ripe and red, overnight, some 200 hippos came out from the river and they ate everything. And we said to the Zambians, my God, the hippos! And the Zambians said, yes, that's why we have no agriculture here. Why didn't you tell us? You never asked.
In fact, it transpires that everything that Italian NGO did while Ernesto was working with them failed. Ernesto Ciroli earned his doctorate later in life, taking a closer look at how the developed world sometimes makes the need of the developing world worse. Not all is lost, though. Dr. Ciroli's enterprise facilitation model is now recognized as a key to revitalizing communities around the world. Dr. Ernesto Ciroli joined us on Open House, and we began with those heady days of curing the ills of villages on the shores of the Zambezi.
Yeah, with a very dubious result. In fact, as you have seen, I make such, you know, it's a funny story about my very first project, but was I try to make it funny because I would like people to engage in a positive frame of mind, but we learned an incredible lesson of what happens when you arrive with best intentions, but you have no understanding of local needs and local conditions. And in reality, the story was funny, but was also tragic because we wasted millions of dollars. We compromised and corrupted beautiful local people who then were exposed to our wasted manners of arrogance, presumption, and ultimately we left completely defeated. Unfortunately, unenlightened people with very little experience in development work tend to go to Africa or to developing countries with two attitudes. One is what I call paternalistic, and the other one is patronizing. Paternalistic, we treat everybody from another race and culture as if they were our children. And this approach is very common and has its own dark side, because every time you treat somebody like a child, you tend to stop their development. The other word is patronizing, which means something different, is that we treat anybody in a relationship. For instance, if we are a mining company in the Borneo or New Guinea, we then tend to treat the local people as if they were our employees.
Ernesto, after the debacle of the world's finest but most short-lived tomato market garden on the Zambezi, did your NGO learn its lessons from the failure and then move forward from there?
No, not at all. There was a complete self-preservation by the NGO. Remember, the rule is never, ever, ever admit that you made a mistake. And so what happened was there was always the fault of the native people.
Wow.
If our project failed. And the real misery of my 5 years in Kenya Zambia, Ivory Coast, Algeria, Somalia, going from project to project and seeing what we were doing. The real misery was not only what we were doing at the grassroots, but also the fact that you cannot admit a mistake, because if you admit a mistake, you lose the funding.
Which brings us to your unique enterprise facilitation model for aid and development. What makes this model so alternative to all that's gone before?
Well, it is based on something that is very, very deeply understood and in every religion and in every culture. What is understood is that people are they have a need to become better people and to grow and fulfill their potential. That people are born with potentials with gifts that they have to return to the world. So my approach, the starting point, is this realization that there is no geography to passion, there is no geography to intelligence, because everywhere you find that people have this wish to grow. Then you can adopt a very, very interesting approach to development, which is one that says, I don't have to find the people who want to transform their lives. I have to simply become available to listen to a community, and once they trust me and I become their friend, they are going to tell me what they want to do with their lives.
Ernesto, Australia plays an important part in the early stages of your development and aid model as you road test some of your thinking in WA.
I was interested in escaping the paternalistic, patronizing model.
Yeah.
And so I went to South Africa initially. I went to Stellenbosch University in South Africa to research this idea of client-based, client-centered approach. And when I first came to transfer my PhD to Murdoch University in Western Australia, because the conditions in South Africa were horrendous with apartheid, I didn't last long there because there were, really was a state of police and was pretty horrific what I saw. So I ran away and I came to Australia. And in Australia, I did a little project to explain what I meant, because nobody understood me.
Yeah.
People said, this guy, you know, the first time that I talked so passionately about people potential, you know, they were concerned that maybe as a 60s, boy,
yeah,
I would smoke too much. But so I had to prove it. And so what I did a little project to very much to convince my supervisor at the university that I knew what I was talking about. And what I did, instead of convincing unemployed people to find something to do, instead of motivating unemployed people, what I did, I made friends with one passionate leather worker who was making sandals and making, you know, a little bit of some belts, some very simple leather stuff at the Fremantle markets in Fremantle, in Western Australia. And this failed, pretty unskilled leather worker who never had a master and was learning but had enormous passion for leather work,
yeah,
introduced me to some of his friends, his mates. And so I came to meet four or five frustrated leather workers who were not able to make a living, so they were all on the dole, but they had this great passion. And so I wanted to show that the passion of the person is the most important component, and we can teach the skill to passionate, self-motivated people. And I did something that was quite fantastic. It was so successful. It was the most extraordinary project. I introduced the five Australian unemployed, frustrated leather workers to the best shoemaker in Western Australia, who was a Sicilian retired orthopedic guy making orthopedic shoes and surgical boots for people with disabilities. And the Italian guy fell in love with the five passionate but frustrated leather workers, and for free he taught them to make shoes, orthopedic shoes.
Wow.
And in a year, these guys were doing stuff that takes 4 years for a normal apprentice, and they formed the first workers' cooperative in Western Australia. The cooperative lasted 10 years. They trained 20 people. Five companies came out of that. And everybody witnessing that, including my supervisor, Professor Peter Newman, they were amazed to see what happens when instead of telling people what they should do, you simply respond to their passion and you provide them with the resources to transform their talent and their passion into a living. And so that was the Trojan horse. That was what created my reputation as this maverick who sees the world differently, who is always on the side of the struggling but passionate entrepreneur or would-be entrepreneur, the person who wants to do something with his or her life.
While home base is California, Ernesto, you continue to work in Sydney, for instance, through Settlement Services International. How does your philosophy develop entrepreneurship among Sydney's refugee community?
We were invited by this extraordinary lady, Violet Romelius, who is the CEO of this magnificent organization that deals with refugees in Sydney. And she had come to one of my seminars sponsored by the City of Sydney. And the City of Sydney hosted a seminar. She invited a number of NGOs to come and listen to. It was a 2.5-day intensive workshop. And Violet said, "Oh, my God, you know, I am of Greek background. All my relatives, as soon as they came to Australia, couldn't get a good paid job because they didn't speak English. So what they did, they set up businesses. So I have an entire family of entrepreneurs, and I've not realized how important starting a business is for newly arrived Australians." So she said, "Can you please work with us?" And so what we have done, we have trained two enterprise facilitators for the organization called SSI, Settlement Services International. And these two enterprise facilitators have already set up 12 small businesses in the first few months of life. They have spoken to, at this stage, the last time was 70 clients in just a few months. And what happens is that newly arrived new Australians wanting to start a business, they now have someone they can go to say, "I have an idea, can you help me?" And of course it's done through interpreters. The fastest business was established in something like 6 weeks from being given a visa to live and work in Australia to starting a business. I think the shortest time has been 6 weeks for one of those clients.
Incredible.
But it is absolutely magnificent to see the passion of newly arrived Australians who do not want to be on the dole. They want to create wealth for themselves. They want to embrace this new country. By the way, I have an Australian passport. I became an Australian in 1987. I'm married to an Australian. I have Australian children. I know what does it feel to arrive in Australia with little English and without the ability to get a well-paid job. I know exactly what it feels to be in a new country that you call your own, where you want to prove that you are intelligent, that you're smart, and that you can look after yourself.
Ernesto, as we draw to the end of our time together, let's just recap your philosophy on development and aid. Be invited, you say, then when you arrive, listen, show respect, work for the people and not over them. For those looking to start a project, how do we get invited? Where do we get started?
To be invited, you have to do something magnificent in your own neighborhood, in your own house. Because if you have never done anything worthy of an invitation, nobody will ever invite you. So it's a very, very, when I understood that, my world just collapsed, because I'm saying, I have never done anything worthy. Why would people invite me? So my very first project, helping those unemployed Australian frustrated shoemakers to find a master who for free would teach them how to make a living out of making orthopedic shoes. For me, that was the project that put me on the map and allow other people to say, he may be crazy, but he's a believer in people. Let's invite him. What do we have to risk? What do we have to lose by inviting him? So my advice to your listeners is that you want to do good. There are plenty of opportunities to do good right now in your neighborhood. Do something magnificent. The word will spread around, and people will say, you can do that? Can you please come and show us how you do it? The worst thing to do instead is you have never done anything, and then you raise some money, and you try to do something in Africa for the first time with no experience and no skills. Don't do that. Don't do that. Learn how to do something. Engage with people. Engage with people's passion exactly where you are. And the world will spread around so quickly, and you will be invited to repeat it because you are a doer and you are a helper. And there is an enormous amount of need for helpers right now in the world.
Dr. Ernesto Ciroli, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for your time and for joining us on Open House Around Australia.
Thank you very much for calling me. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.